This is the Christafari Ministries podcast with Pastor Mark Moore.
My name is Mark Moore. I'm a pastor, but you can just call me Mark. You and I kind of have something in common. We both have or had the same pastor. His name was Dennis Wadley. Now, as I'm watching these video clips from Matt's group, I'm just taken back. First of all, the 80s are back in style, and that's when I was in youth group. And so I'm seeing the same outfits, and I'm swearing I'm seeing the same people. And minus the mustache, I'm seeing basically Dennis's group. It's pretty darn cool. In fact, when we even pulled up here this morning, I'm like, oh my gosh, I slept at this church. Sometime during some youth trip, we were driving up or back or whatever, and we slept in one of those rooms in a sleeping bag. And so it's just so weird. It's like, wow, 20 years later, I'm here. And when I graduated from high school, oh, shoot, what the heck? Where'd you find that, man? That is my senior picture. Minus the beard and the dreads. That, believe it or not, that was the last day that I cut my hair. That was it. Ever since then, well, I cut them a little bit shorter just so they don't get caught in doors, belts, and roller coasters, just for sanity, and so I don't get a headache when I surf. But, yeah, okay, so that was me. Now, let's see. Do you have any other pictures? Let's see what we got. There he is. There he is. Now, you may not be able to see that well, but anybody who knows Magnum PI knows that is the ultimate mustache right there. Now, I got to tell you, though, he rocked that mustache when mustaches were not cool. He did, and he did it loud and proud. And he also had the hairiest chest I ever remember a man ever having. So hairy that there was actually a time when they carved some sort of signature in it, maybe a cross or something, during one of the youth groups. It was scary. It was scary seeing him at the pool with, like, full-on, like, Vanilla Ice carvings on his chest. Anyways, so this is the summer that changed my life, right here, 21 years ago. That is the stage. That is probably the mic stand that I picked up when I first sang my very first Christian reggae song. 21 years ago, it was at Alpine Camp, up in the mountains by Big Bear. I don't know if anybody even knows where that is. But I didn't start off that way. I started off going to church, Rolling Hills Covenant Church. I don't know if you guys feel about these covenant theology people. But yeah, I went to Rolling Hills Covenant Church ever since I was a little kid. And I went to 14 youth camps, 14 of them. Seven, you know, each year I did two, winter and summer. And each time I heard this just heart-pounding message that just drew me forward to pray that prayer. You know what I'm talking about. And I was just so called, and I was so convinced that I was going to change the world. But after each one of those messages, I went back to the same friends, to the same parties, to the same school, to the same everything. And within 2 weeks, nothing changed. I was just right back to how it was before. The Bible talks about a dog going back to his vomit. It's a very graphic and disgusting description of something that it's a true description, though. And that was me. Believe it or not, that clean-cut guy, he smoked marijuana at the age of 9. And by 13, he was using cocaine. I'm talking about him as if it was a he, because he is not me anymore, because I'm a new creation. I became a marijuana grower. I became a marijuana dealer using crack, crystal meth, LSD, anything I could do. Ran away from home. Spent a few months away from home. I was the nightmare kid that no parent ever wants to have. But my parents didn't give up on me. And my Heavenly Father didn't give up on me. And they relentlessly pursued me. Not with judgment, not with condemnation, but with love. And when I hit a bottom, a rock bottom, I was at a camp, and I heard that message once again. This time, with tears in my eyes, I prayed that prayer. And I truly, truly, truly repented of my sins and asked Jesus to forgive me of my sin. And he did. The next day, I heard this message. And he talked about our life purpose and what we're called to do. And this was 20 or 18 years before Rick Warren even got onto the whole purpose-driven life. He talked about just breaking it down, you know, loving God, the greatest commandments, you know, loving others, how just all the different steps of being a Christian. And one of the most important things that he said was to read the Bible. To read the Bible, not just once a week, but every single day, to meditate on God's word. And I made a commitment to do that. Today I want to challenge you to do the same. And that's what my message is going to be about. So I come back from this camp and I'm on fire for Christ. And I'm not even home 10, 15 minutes. Right, Mom? My mom's in the back. Say, well, what's up, Mom? Everybody say, hi, Mom. Wave your hand. I'm not even home 10, 15 minutes. The phone rings. Who was it, Mom? Dennis Wadley, she says. He says, hey, Mark. How you doing? I said, great. He said, I heard you just got back from JH Ranch. I said, yeah. It was a camp up in Northern California. He's like, you want to share your story this Sunday? It's at the service, at the youth service? I'm like, sure. And so I did. He didn't even know my story. I think you told him, Mom. Did you tell him? I'm innocent, she said. I just caught my mom in a lie. No. Somehow he got word that I prayed this prayer and that my life was changed. For years, he and all these other pastors had been trying to meet with me, to get with me, to convince me, and I knew the answer to every single question, and I just knocked them down every single time. No, I had this wall built up. But I had truly given my life to Christ at this time. And so at the youth group, I came up and I shared, and I was so excited. And he's like, that's great. That's great. We did, 2 weeks later, we did another youth camp, the one that picture was taken at. Dennis and his big old Tom Selleck mustache. And they had a talent show. And they said, I had this early morning quiet time. I was reading the Bible, and I got this melody. It was the most embarrassing song that I've ever sang. I will not sing it ever again. But I went up to the worship team at the camp, and I said, hey, will you guys back me? And they said, sure. I said, can you do reggae? And they said, we'll try. And we did the very first song that I had ever sung for Christ. And the bassist looked at me and said, so you're not a Rastafarian anymore. You're a Christafarian. 2 weeks after that, after this camp, Dennis said, hey, we're doing a baptismal service for all the kids that came to Christ at camp. You want to sing? So in front of Rolling Hills Covenant Church, very first time, I sang in front of a big crowd. And then the next Easter service, he's like, hey, would you like to share your testimony in front of 3,000 people? I'm like, I can do that. And then he said, it looks like you're pretty serious about this band thing. I think you should go to Bible college. And so I went to his alma mater. I went to Biola University and studied the Bible and recorded our first two albums while there. We've recorded 12 albums now. I've produced 40-some-odd albums. We've been to 50 countries, played before the President of the United States, two Olympic Games. We've seen about 3,250 people give their lives to Christ just this year through our ministry. And this year, for some reason, God has just really put it on my heart to try and bless and just encourage those who brought me up and made me who I am today. And God used some incredible people, and one of the people at the top of this list, I wish he was here today, is Dennis Wadley. I just met with my junior high pastor 2 weeks ago, but Dennis, wow, he changed my life. And so today I want to share with you about reading the Word. I want to share with you some truths that I learned from Dennis and from others. And so we're going to start off in Psalm 1, if you can, okay? Psalm 1. Psalm 1:1, I'm going to be reading in the NIV, starts with, Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the mockers. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this word. We thank you for your word that is truly living and active. May it live in us. May it thrive in us. May we grow because of it. Teach us. Speak to us. Speak through me. Speak to me. In Jesus' name, amen. So this, I read this passage right after I gave my life to Christ. And I realized, okay, well, this is the first thing that I was doing wrong. In the past, I was going back to the same friends, the same parties, the same girlfriend, the same non-Christian girlfriend. That's going to work. Yeah, that's really going to work. So when I came back, I clearly drew a line in the sand. And in love, I said, well, first of all, they're still my friends, but I invited them to my territory, to church. I invited them to our concerts, to my Bible studies. I invited them to safe, neutral environments. I didn't go to a five kegger and pour up a tall one and then start preaching to them, because it wouldn't have worked. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the way of the sinners, or sit in the seat of the mockers. What else is there to do besides walking, sitting, or standing? I mean, that's pretty much all the actions you would do with somebody. Basically, what he's saying is, show me a man's friends, I'll show you their future. It's so true. Now, as Christians, we're called to go out. We're called to be in the world, but not of the world, right? So you have to watch out. You have to be cautious what is influencing you. I love what the Message paraphrases this. It says, how well God must like you. You don't hang out in Sin Saloon. You don't slink along Dead End Road. You don't go to Smart Mouth College. There's only so far you can go on a dead end street. When I see one, I turn around. But man, in my old days, I just kept walking against the wall and wondering why I wasn't getting anywhere. The simplest way to show this analogy, let me get a few guys here. Let me see here. Okay, I need you two guys. Come here. It's easier to do this when it's a little taller, but dude, you are really tall. Okay, why don't you get up here? All right, now you're going to try and pull him up, and he's going to try and pull you down. Just grab your arms here. There it is. Okay. You try and pull him down from that step, and he's going to try and pull you up, okay? Go for it. Come on. Dude, that is not supposed to work that way. Do over. I didn't give you the script, did I? All right, now he didn't even try. All right. Okay, well, this is supposed to be a taller place. I was thinking the piano, but we would break it. So now, normally, it's, get up here, dude. It's so much easier to pull somebody down than it is to pick them up. Things devolve before they evolve, right? Okay, so now, if I try and pull you up, this doesn't really work because this is too high. But grab his hand, dude. If the two of us try and pull you up, it's going to be pretty simple. Oh, come on. You're not even giving a fight. Give me a fight. All right. You get the idea. That was a failed analogy at best. It's easier to pull somebody down. It's called gravity, the law of gravity. The Bible says we're supposed to avoid bad company. It says bad company corrupts good morals. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Bad company corrupts good character. So that's what I believe Psalm 1:1 is talking about. Now let's go to Psalm 1:2, verse 2. By the way, if you haven't read the Psalms lately, I strongly encourage you to do it on a regular basis, especially if you're going through a tough time in your life. Psalms are so powerful when it comes to just encouraging you to cry out to God, to just share with him whatever is on your heart. All right, Psalm 1, verse 2, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. So blessed is the man who does not do this, but his delight is in the, say, law of the Lord. On this law he meditates day and night. Say, day and night. Now, meditate, you guys probably have heard this before. Meditate is actually comes from the Hebrew word of, it discusses the way, or describes the way a cow digests his food. Now, if you ever see a cow on the side of the road, you know, in a farm or whatever, he's doing it right now. This guy's doing this symbol. That means he's regurgitating. Basically, the cow is sitting there. He's like, but you rarely see him take a bite. Because when he does take a bite, he fills up his mouth. He chews it. He swallows it. He digests it. And then he spits it back up again. And he chews it. And he swallows it. How many stomachs does a cow have? How many? Four. You guys are well studied. Most people say seven or six or one. It's actually one stomach with four compartments. But when it says on the law, he meditates day and night, we're supposed to chew on the word. We're supposed to digest it, regurgitate it, focus on it, emphasize it, highlight it, write it out, memorize it, live it. And then Psalm 1:3 says, he's like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. I'm going to break this down into the Message paraphrase again. It says, instead, you thrill on God's word. You chew on scripture day and night. You're like a tree replanted in Eden, bearing fresh fruit every month, never dropping a leaf, always in blossom. Now, we just came back from a tour in Hawaii. I know we suffer for Jesus, going to all these rough places. But on Oahu, they're actually having a drought. So, like, when you look at Diamond Head, it's just all gray and brown, and there's just not a lot of green. But wherever there's a river, what is there? Oh, man, it's growing. We were at this, on the Big Island, and we checked out this waterfall called Rainbow Falls. And I'm like, oh, I'm not swimming. No. We got a show in like 2 hours. Forget it. And I start walking, and it just gets bigger and greener. And there's banyan trees that are like, one tree is just like a forest of trees. And I'm just like overwhelmed. I'm like, oh, my gosh. We come around this thicket of bamboo, and there it is, this beautiful, just picturesque river. I took off everything but my shorts and dove in immediately. I had to. But every tree around there, as I was sitting there, is just green and flourishing. And that's what God wants us to be. When we are meditating on his word day and night, we are like a tree planted by water. What is the water then? The water is the word. Now, this plant is looking pretty hopeless. It's dying. It's got some pretty dead leaves. I think if I water this maybe once in December will be good. How about once in November and once in December? You think it'll be alive? How often should I water it? Yeah, pretty often, right? Pretty often. Otherwise, it will die. It needs that. I mean, we're like that in life. You know, we just drove up from Camp Pendleton. Before that, we were up in Napa Valley. I mean, how many times did I have to fill up on gas? Once? No, you have to fill up regularly. My phone requires a charge every night. Otherwise, it is dead, and the iPhone becomes the paper holder, paperweight. It doesn't have any purpose. With us, we need refreshment. I started thinking about how often I drink sodas. You guys drink soda? I drink soda. I prefer the diet sodas. So I started collecting the lids of sodas. This is like 2 months worth right here. I made my own percussion instrument. I love percussion. I have all kinds of little gadgets here. It's pretty fun. I want to show you a few here. Oh, I just spilled some water in my face. I like that one. Uh-huh. This is the Vibra Slap. Yeah, this one's kind of fun. All right, let's see what we got here. Oh, this one's awesome. Yeah, I'm a freak. Love that one. I think this is my favorite, though. Let me see. Is there any other good ones back here? What do we got? What do we got? This is from Brazil. Could you be loved? Yeah, I'm a freak. So I started wondering how many water bottles. These are all the lids of water bottles and some paint cans to add color. But yeah, these are all just water bottles. They make all kinds of cool percussion instruments in Brazil and the other places I go. But so, I mean, we drink a whole lot of water. Our body is like, what, 70% water? And you need it to survive. You desperately need it. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:2 that like newborn babies crave the pure spiritual milk of the word. The word is also described as meat. It says for husbands to wash their wives with the water of the word. So if the word is your meal, if the word is your sustenance, how often are you eating? Do you imagine after this service if you decided, hey, let's go out to Chinese buffet together, and you and your family go out there and you eat yourself a meal and you're like, oh, this is great. I'm good till next week. You imagine that? If the next meal you ate, the next time you took a sip of water was next week? A very good friend of mine, her grandfather just died last week. He died from Alzheimer's, but he didn't die from that. He died because he starved in dehydration. Because he forgot how to swallow. And she looked at me and she's like, it was so tough in the last few days because we were changing the bed sheets and we pulled off the sheet and it was like, and I just looked at my mom and I just said, Auschwitz. And she said, there's only so many days you can go without food and water. And I realized so many of us are emaciated just the same with the word. We got our plastic smile on Sunday. How you doing? Oh, I'm good. I'm good. When really, we're just crying inside. And we may watch hours of TV a day. We may be tweeting all day long or on Facebook, but we're not getting any FaceTime with God. So I want to challenge you guys. Are you on a spiritual fast where you're fasting from the word and this is all you get? If this is all you get, you're starving yourself. And you will not grow. You'd be like this tree, watered once a month. You're lucky if you got a little green on you. But you know that you deserve so much more than that. You know that God wants so much more than that. God wants you to flourish. I love how he keeps talking about this. I'm the vine, you're the branches, bearing fruit. Who doesn't want to have a bunch of grapes hanging from their arm? We were just in Napa Valley, and I was like, I visited a vineyard, and I'm like, oh, I'm just like, this is the sweetest, honey, you got to taste this. This is the sweetest grape. I don't care for the wine. I just want the grape. I was wondering where the grape juice is. They weren't selling grape juice. But these grapes are so good, and don't you want to have that kind of fruit in your life? You ever been to somebody's house and you open up the cupboard like a bachelor's house and it's just like animal crackers or something, like stale Cheerios that like are rubbery? You're like, where's the food? Where's the fruit in your life? Where is the fruit? How can a young man stay pure? By living according to your word. Your word I've hidden in my heart so that I might not sin against you. We need his word. His word is like a lamp guiding us. So this is my challenge to you. That you do not starve yourself. That you gorge yourself on the word. It it's okay to get spiritually fat. It's about the only fat that's good for you. So why don't you start? Start. I won't even say meditate on it day and night. Let's just start with day, okay? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So this is my challenge. You start off tomorrow. First things first. After you brush your teeth. Getting into the Word. And I'm going to remind you of that because you've never seen anybody do this on stage. All right.
You see, I want to tell you something. When I was challenged to read the Bible every day, I was asked this simple question, and I'm going to ask this question to you. Do you brush your teeth? Raise your hand if you brush your teeth today. If you didn't brush your teeth, shame on you. My mommy taught me how to brush my teeth. And even when I didn't have teeth, I was brushing my gums with a little, like, Bugs Bunny toothpaste. Right? You know what I'm talking about, dude. You just did that a few years ago, didn't you? Okay, now, how many days go by without you brushing your teeth? They don't go too long, right? Because your breath starts to stink. So what you need to do is the same way that you brush your teeth every day, you need to go into the Word every single day. Now, people at UCLA or other smart colleges said that it takes approximately 30 days of doing the same thing and around the same time to build up a habit that is not easily broken. Kind of like brushing your teeth. If we do it every day, like I just started taking my vitamins. Now I want to do it because I'm used to it. So who is going to read the Word every day for the next 30 days? Raise your hand. Pick a place, pick a time, just like brushing your teeth. You will not. That's right. I'm going to hold you accountable.
Now that's disgusting. He just spit in a cup on stage. But I want to challenge you to do that. And if you do so, you will flourish. You will truly flourish. Here's another cool way to memorize the scripture. You ready? I think I learned this from Dennis. I really do. Okay. So you got yourself a Ziploc bag. You got yourself a rubber band. Okay? You take a passage like this. I'm going to read this. Joshua 1, 7, and 8. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law of my servant Moses gave you and do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it. How long? Day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Okay, so this is my memorization verse here. I'm going to fold it up, put it inside this plastic bag. I'm going to seal it up. It's like a magic trick. You're like, is he going to make it disappear? What's he going to do? What's he going to do? Okay, this is the worst Ziploc bag ever. Let's just pretend like it did seal. Okay, now I'm going to get my little trusty Boy Scout knife on my honor, do my duty to God and my country, to obey the Scout law. Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. Something like that. Did I get it right, Dad? Close. My dad's a scoutmaster. Okay, here we go. Now I'm going to put this rubber band through here, and I'm going to pull it through itself now. And then, there it is. Voila. This is the shower head. I'm hanging it on the shower head. So now, singing in the shower, memorizing the Word. There it is. I'm a freak. But you will not forget that, right? Now I challenge you guys to do that. I challenge you guys. That's like extra credit. That's like bonus. Who's going to come back next week saying, I have my memorization verse in the shower? If you don't, shame on you. So I want to encourage you to do that. As the band starts to come back up, I want to say one more thing. That's your hint, guys. Where is that verse? Oh, it's in the Bible thing. Here it is. Okay, I want to read you the Message version of this. Christophari, take the stage, please. This is so cool. It says, make sure you carry out the revelation that Moses commanded you, every bit of it. Do not get off track, either to the left or to the right, so as to make sure that you get where you're going. And don't for a minute let this book of Revelation be out of mind. Ponder it. Meditate on it day and night. Make sure you practice everything written in it. Then you'll get to where you're going. Then you'll succeed. I love how he says, then you'll get to where you're going. Two different times he says, you'll get to where you're going. I've said, show me a person's friends, I'll show you their future. Show me somebody who reads the word every day, and I'll show you somebody who succeeds in God's eyes. They may not be the richest person here, but spiritual riches is the only thing that matters in eternity. Do you understand me? We just came from Camp Pendleton. It was a 2.5-hour drive. How long does it take to get from, like, let's say, if I was in San Diego and I was driving south, how many hours would it take to get up here? I was driving south. How many hours would it take? Ain't gonna happen. Do you want to get to where you're going? Do you want to know your destination? Read your Bible. And you know what? I want to give you a little analogy for that. Okay, would you stand up? Every single person, come up front, right here, right now. All right. You guys ready? I want to show you a few dances. Believe it or not, I'm going to make you guys dance. The most important book you could ever read in your entire life is the
Bible.
How often should you meditate on it?
Daily.
So what I want you to do is I want you to put your hands together like this. And I want you to read your Bible, okay? You ready? Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Hey, this is Pastor Mark Moore from Christofari. I hope you enjoyed today's message. If you want to know more about our ministry, please go to Christofari.com. And if you want to support us, please click on the donate button. Thank you so much for your support. God bless you.